Welcome to Stay on Course with me, Julie Riga. My life has been a roller coaster of highs and lows, but what I know to be true is that when we are grounded in our purpose and savor the sweet moments of life, we are truly a success. Today, you are going to get the ingredients for success because life is salty and life is sweet. Together, let's explore the possibilities of our own lives and learn from thought leaders around the globe. Ready, guys? Let's cook it. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the next edition of the Stay on Course podcast. This is a bonus episode where Julie Loken and I interview Colin Stetson, who is the composer for the new movie, The Menu, starring Ralph Fiennes. Listen in to this very interesting conversation.
Colin.
Hi.
How are you doing? First of all, you are an ingenue, if I ever knew an ingenue, but just your ability to reach people and tell stories through your music blows me away. And I'm not the musician. This one down here, the other Julie Riga, is really the musician here. So, but your music is so prolific and can bring you to tears. It can drive you mad, and it also can make you so excited to be alive. So I'm so excited to have Colin Stetson here. Yes, we got him. We got him.
That's my favorite. My favorite thing anybody said about the music today.
Really, we're winning, Julie. We're winning.
Beautiful. No, it's yeah. If those are three things that I care deeply about in that music, so appreciate that very much. Well,
yeah, I mean, I just think it's amazing that you play all of those instruments. I'm completely amazed by that as well.
Well, thank you. Some of them I'm actually quite good at.
A little bit.
And then there are other ones, not so much. But I like to touch it all. Mm-hmm. For me, these things like music making is very tactile. It's a very tactile experience. And so even when I'm writing for strings, I'm playing all of those parts, or I'm singing those parts. I'm making those parts with some amount of, like, I'm actually either playing it on piano, or I'm playing it on keyboard, or I'm singing those string parts. Or so even if it's even if they're music parts that are going to be ultimately played by another person, they have their root in something that I've physically played, and it's just how I work. It's how I've always worked in these contexts, and how I enjoy working, having it all ultimately filtered through my physical experience, I guess, is important to me.
So, but the movie, I was just watching the coming attraction. It comes out this week, right?
This is what you're paying for.
Get out of my way.
It's all part of the menu.
No, we're going to die today.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
You told him it was my birthday?
Seemed funny about 3 hours ago.
Frightening. Okay, so I'm sitting there and I'm frightened. Mm-hmm. I guess I have nightmares about movies, so I can't really watch like horror movies very much, but that's just my own personal issue. So I'm wondering, like, what I mean, so that obviously is, and then I've seen some of the other things you work on, that is like the genre that you're sort of playing in a bit, right?
In general, I think people know more of my work for horror. Yes, I've done other things, maybe not quite so many, but I have done other dramas, things that aren't so horror forward. And this one is fun. I will say that as much as it certainly does lean into the horrific from time to time, it also is a very fun movie, and it is a romp all its own. So
yeah, they say it's a horror comedy. So that's very interesting.
Sure. Yeah. I'd say avoid all the trailers that you can. Just avoid any amount of discussion or description of this one and just go in as fresh and free of expectation as you can. And it is very fun. It's not without its moments of real, I've tried to encapsulate this, to express this in different ways, but it just, there are these poignant moments of like real human despair in this film. At the same time, there's so much levity. It's very fun. It keeps you wrapped up in it as it, in its unfolding the whole time. And there are true moments of dread as well, but it's a very affecting film. And so, yeah, go in with as little expectation as possible and just let it do things to you.
I mean, I need a happy ending. Is there a happy ending, Colin? I need to know that there's a happy ending here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, depends on your perspective.
Oh, okay, great. See, I'm a rom-com kind of person, so this is a little bit out of my genre, but I will take a look at this movie.
You're good.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to want to be a songwriter, a singer-songwriter. That was one of the things I wanted to be. And now I have like a boring desk job. But the idea that you're pursuing your passion and you're doing it, you're literally doing it every day, is so exciting. Tell us about this solo tour you're doing.
Oh, I just did a few shows. What was it, last week? So very brief. It used to be, like I said, back in the early 2000s, I was on the road pretty much 10 months out of the year with various groups in the beginning. And then I was with Arcade Fire for 2007 through 2010-ish. And then from 2010-11 to 2013, I was with Bon Iver. And I was fitting in between those band tours, fitting in solo tours. So I was pretty much out all the time, nonstop. And then, you know, gradually started to score more film, and also decided that I wanted to. I stopped touring with bands, which was a huge boon to my time. I got so much of it back, and then started, you know, I was still doing much touring of my own, but over the years I've gradually pulled back, so that now, because of scoring being such an integral part of how it is that I work and what it is I get to do, and that I also, I'm probably like 5 or 6 record concepts behind in my solo output at this point. There's just so much more I want to do behind the scenes than I want to do in front of them. So touring for me happens, but it happens disparately. And so I went out in the springtime, UK and Europe for a bit. I did a little bit here and there throughout the summer, like little one-offs. And then I just went out for a small showcase thing in New York, Chicago, and LA. Just last
Chicago,
week.
Hello.
New York, I could have seen you. Yeah.
No way. Well, I was there last week.
Last week? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Dang it. Nobody
told
Colin,
me. I'm in New York City, New Jersey. So next time you come out this way, I want to come see you.
I'll be out both those places next year again. So
we promise we won't embarrass you with a big sign in the audience. Like, hey.
I'm going to come there with the big sign.
Yeah, we are. We're lying. We're going to embarrass you.
You'll be the first. No one's ever done that.
Oh.
We'll be the first people to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
And we could do an interview live. We'll do a
interview. That would be amazing.
There you go.
Yeah. Are you in the States a lot? You're in Montreal. I love Montreal. It was my last international travel before COVID. It's a gorgeous city. Are you in there? Are you in Montreal right now?
No, I'm in New York right now.
Oh, you are. Do you live in New York, or why do I have Montreal?
I'm here for the premiere of the menu.
The Jules, any tickets left? Maybe we could get Julie to go.
You're talking to the wrong guy about any tickets left.
Oh, darn.
I have no idea the answer to that question.
So, Colin, we have a few minutes left here. I really want to understand, like, what are your ingredients for success in what you do?
Oh no.
What's your menu? What's the menu?
What is your ingredients for success?
Oh my God. Is this when I say like discipline, consistency?
Yeah. What is it? What is
there's
one
something
thing?
You don't understand. Like your life that you're living right now is what a lot of musicians want to be living. I mean, you probably recognize that. You've accomplished a lot. You have those accolades. There must be some sort of secret sauce, those ingredients that really have besides waking up, do the breathing, bubble baths, and, you know, being amazing at the saxophone and every other instrument known to mankind, there's something magical about you. I know this. You know it too. I saw that laugh. Oh, you agree.
If you have to be okay with how time really moves and how things gradually unfold. So if you ask me that, this question would be completely nonsensical if we were talking 15 years ago. You know, I was at a very, very different place, although I was living more or less the same way in terms of my efforts and my attachment and my passion and drive with music. As if I would go back 25 years, I'm living more or less the same way in my drive, but it takes time for things to unfold. So there's always that seeds planted now don't necessarily become anything that anyone else would notice for many years to come. And so even for me, like there's things that I'll write, things that'll come out on a record like this, you know, last year or something that I started conceiving of maybe a decade before, but wow, actually physically make, because it was just an idea. And when I try it, it's not really there. And I have to take so many different steps and just like, you can't just decide, okay, I'm going to be a marathon runner, so tomorrow I'm going to be in the marathon. You have to know that with practice will come your ability to finish that. And then with more practice and more years and more time will come your ability to bring your overall marathon time down. And that's just kind of like an obvious reference. So there is just being more or less cognizant and acknowledging of the fact that time, that all these things take huge amounts of time.
You're talking about the consistency, like you were sort of making fun of that thing, but it's the consistency and the patience that it took all this time to sort of get to this place. And through the years, you've been generating ideas that are just formulating now. So I think that's part of the success as well, is to have that patience to see things through to the end.
Exactly. And I think that if there's anything energetically, I do think that there's something to a particular balance in the equation of having an adherence to a vision and a confidence and some amount of audacity of confidence in a vision, because you have to adhere to it so much, knowing that you're not going to necessarily reap rewards and see successes right around the corner, that these things, like, again, are things that come with sometimes vast amounts of time. But then on the flip side, you really have to have an equal amount of a kind of crippling sense of self-criticism that keeps you constantly re-examining what it is that you're actually doing, and making sure that you hold yourself to a higher standard and the highest kind of ideal. One can't be so much as to balance out the other one. And if they're both there in the correct proportions, I think that we can accomplish quite a lot. But maybe if you flip too far into the former, you maybe lose sight of the quality control on your own art, and maybe you've drunk your own Kool-Aid a little bit too much, and it starts to just dissipate. And if you lean too far into the latter, you stifle your own creativity and don't lean into opportunities. It's ultimately much of what you end up doing. What I feel like I end up doing is, there is an enormous amount of faking it till you make it, I think, at least energetically and internally to some of these things. When someone, you know, when Alexander first reached out and said, can you score this film? I've never done that. You know, at that point I had never done anything like that. Can I do it? Yes. Just say yes now, figure it out, and then hold yourself to a standard so that at the end of the day, you feel you can step back and say, I learned so much during this process, and I'm proud of what it was that was accomplished. And you can look back at the object of the music made lovingly. And so that's for me, the whole of it is each time stepping back and being like, okay, did I learn something? Do I love this thing now that's out in the world? am I happy to see that it, that I've seen it through and happy with what it ended up as. And yeah, very much. That's the whole of it for me.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
How lucky are we, Julie, to have met Colin Stetson? I would encourage
how lucky am I?
How lucky is Colin? Colin, you're going to be scared. You're going to turn around one day and the two blonde Julies are going to be sitting there with signs over our heads. Saying,
oh, can't wait.
Yeah, and I have a song that I'd like you to listen to.
Oh,
you know,
my God. You know. She didn't just do that.
I had to do it.
She didn't just do that. But we have to see the menu. We promise we're going to see it this weekend. But right. We're going to be listening to every nuance, every note that you have given to us from your soul. You continue to inspire. We are your biggest fans. And
oh, you're my favorites.
Yay!
This has been so much fun. Thank you for the
love. Adore you, Colin. Thank
Colin,
you.
We're going to be talking about you this weekend when the movie comes out. We're so excited to see it. You're like, we interviewed that guy.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for your time.
My dad, Ennio Riga, was not just a chef. He was my hero. From the hardships of World War II to the heights of culinary excellence, his story is nothing short of remarkable. Now, this story lives on in Stay on Course, a book that is very close to my heart. It's filled with his own words, his recipes, and the wisdom he imparted to me. Just imagine, 4 months before he passed, he handed me his life story, urging me to finish it. In these pages, you'll discover the secrets behind mouthwatering dishes and the lessons he taught me about leadership and perseverance. And trust me, there are some incredible tales in here, like the time he pulled off a birthday bash for Frank Sinatra with just 48 hours notice. So, if you're hungry for inspiration and craving a taste of Ennio's legacy, head over to stayoncoursebook.com. That's stayoncoursebook.com. Grab your copy and let his story ignite your passion.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Stay on Course. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so Julie can continue serving up delectable experts and appetizing content directly to your earbuds. And remember, right now, you have the ingredients to be living the life you are meant to live. This has been a production of The Media Casters.